crazy father dear. To go in the devil's house with Satan on the bed. Freak on blood like a maniac, yeah. Go, baby, go. A psychopath and number one crash is all she'll ever know. Halloween, Halloween, that's when she gets so mean.
Continental way of eating. We pick up our silverware, index finger in the back of the fork, index finger on top of the knife.
What's the matter? Doesn't that sound exciting to you?
Luckily, dining at the Sub is a little less formal.
The Honor Roll Sushi Bar. Get maki rolls, rice bowls, and bento boxes made fresh all day. Don't forget to ask about our party platters. Located in the basement of the Sub, the Honor Roll Sushi Bar is open Monday through Friday. This business is owned and operated by the AMS, your student society.
Sexy and Van City Radio may contain adult content. Listener discretion is advised. You are listening to Sexy and Van City Radio on 101.9 FM, CITR.
That is the primal cry. Welcome to Sexy and Van City Radio 101.9 FM CITR. And tonight is the ambiance of Halloween, because we're going to be talking all about that tonight. Just how sexy Halloween is. I think for most of us, Halloween is one of those things that kind of runs 365 days a year. Before the show, I was chatting to Val, and we were talking about vampires and just this big thing about vampires. Last winter, I actually bought a painting because it was supposed to be of David Bowie, and it looks like David Bowie, an amazing piece by Jim Cummings, but I actually thought it looked like Edward Cullen from Twilight, so I had to buy that piece and put it up on my wall because I really wanted to see it, because I had this thing about vampires, and I think a lot of us do out there, which is why series like True Blood are doing really, really well, the Twilight phenomenon, all of that is really hot. Really gorgeous and very, very sexy. So with Halloween, I'm going to quote the movie Mean Girls, which of course people like getting dressed up. They say that Halloween is the only time of the year that a girl can dress like a total skank, quote unquote, and not get beaten up about it or bugged about it by other girls or other guys. So, ladies out there, if you're listening and you want to get all dolled up for Halloween, well, we're going to talk a little bit about that tonight and how to make Halloween super duper sexy. But making sure you make sure everything is super safe if you're going out so that you do not end up at home with somebody that you really wish that you had them leave their Halloween mask on or their makeup that didn't get smeared on your pillow the next day. But you really were able to like what they look like with your beer goggles on. And if you are guys and gals out there deciding to go home with somebody, how to protect yourself from a one-night stand in more ways than one, not just with the plastic, but in so many different ways, because you never know, there may be necrophiliacs out there who might be lurking, waiting, wanting to grab, twist, and enjoy and be completely satiated by you. So let's play safe, boys and girls out there, because we want to make sure Halloween is a good time, not just a bad time. So for those of you who are in relationships, let's start the show off with the top right there. Staying at home, there may be lots of tricks as well as treats. So there's different ways of doing that if you're in a long-term committed relationship, or even if it's just a getting-to-know-you series, perhaps a sexy, scary movie could be really good. As long as there's lots of cuddles involved, lots of holding someone and playing a little bit like, oh, I'm so scared, will you just hold me just a little bit longer? That kind of stuff, which can be really hot, if you'd like. And that could be really, really fun. And on that note, with the scary movies, if you want to actually get out of the house tonight, go down to the Cellulite Social Club, because there is some great stuff going on, the 48-hour film festival, where there is the blood shots, which are where they had 48 hours to create this movie, and people are voting on them tonight. And there's lots of sexy, scary makeup that you can have done to your face, which actually goes to charity and helps women in the downtown east side. So if you go and get that done. And it might give you some ideas of what you can take home, because, of course, role-playing is really fun, and getting all dressed up for Halloween, whether or not you want to be a sexy witch, whether you want to indulge in the vampire thing, which, if so, you can actually get caps on your teeth if you want to take it to the next level. Because that was very trendy several years ago, but now it's coming back full force, where you can have those fangs and gently graze somebody ever so slightly with them. If you are doing role-playing, regardless, whether it's vampire and victim, whether it's corpse and necrophiliac, whatever it is, witches getting together and creating something magical, whatever it is, make sure, A, you talk about it, B, you set your parameters in terms of what exactly is good role-playing. So then that way you know both of you are safe and it's consensual. Consensual being the right words, always making sure you open up the lines of communication. So it could be just like, honey, I really think it'd be great if we tried this. I've always kind of wanted to dress up as a sexy schoolgirl, and I'd like you to be my professor. Whatever it is, make sure you talk about it. Talk about exactly what that is. So whether or not that would include things like spanking, or if it doesn't, because if you get spanked all of a sudden, it could turn into a not so fun situation. So make sure you talk about things. Talk about what you like. Talk about what you don't like. Talk about what you're willing to try and see if you do like, because sometimes role-playing gives us that permission so that we can go there and explore these things, because it's really very important. If you are going to play, perhaps with things like candied apples, watch your teeth. It can get really sticky on certain parts of the anatomy as the body heat starts warming things up. Or with the caramel, all those things like that. You have to be really, 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 really careful where you put that. Watch out for bacteria and all sorts of things. But if you want, you can get edible candied underwear, edible candied bras, and that can be a lot of fun. And of course, all these toys are going to be available next week. If not, if you don't want to check out your shops, because there's some great shops in town like Art of Loving, Women's Wear, and there's a whole whack of shops all along Davies Street where you can get some sexy costumes, sexy all sorts of wonderful things. Next week, I'm actually going to have Alaska from Sex Ed with a Twist talking about how you can survive the taboo sex show, where you just get inundated with so many different sexual things, things about relationships, lots of sex toys and things like that for all you girls and boys out there. So she'll be on, and we will be chatting about all that stuff next week, which I'm pretty excited about. So on that note, I am going to be giving away some tickets. So if you want, you can either call 604-822-2487, that's 604-UBC-CITR, to win some tickets to the Taboo Sex Show, which is November 7th and 8th at, I believe it's in, I want to say Canada Place, and I think that's right in the convention center there, and DB Financial. We had Dave Chen on the show not that long ago giving us some advice in terms of what to do when you are moving in with somebody, some parameters and things to look for when you're dating them in terms of on a financial, just to see if you're financial, and you're financially compatible with somebody, and if that's something you might be able to learn through communication. But all of that stuff, he has been very generous and has donated some tickets. So either tweet us at Sexy in Van City, or call us at 604-822-2487, that's 604-UBC-CITR. So there's some other things that are really good. I was on AskMen.com earlier, which you guys know is one of my favorite sites because it can be highly entertaining. with that. And before I forget, I should probably mention that we're listening to a little bit of Rob Zombie at the top of the hour, which is always fun and a little bit scary since he's got House of a Thousand Corpses and all sorts of different movies to watch, which are a little bit frightful, and including Halloween from last year, which Michael Myers always freaks me out, but I kind of like the original. But in regards to scary things, there's some interesting things that were on AskMen.com tonight in terms of things. This one would be an interesting one if you did take somebody home and realize they just were not your type. You really had the beer goggles on. This is called The Ghost Rider. And according to them, before you start writing letters about this one, they just want to make it clear that you're not going to set your partner's head on fire when she's faced the other way, doggy style. That would fall under the Mike Tyson sex positions. But according to the Ghost Rider, is a lot more humane, although slightly tough around the eyes. The way it works is when the female is riding the male, the man puts a white sheet over her head while resisting the overwhelming urge to cue up the Ghostbusters theme on his stereo. Oh, Ghostbusters! Number 9. This is the grave water and the grave robber. Ooh. And the key to this one is finding a successful mix between the thrill of robbery and the somewhat unappealing odor of putrid human innards. Okay, everybody. Think pheromones. Big ones. Nice deep inhale. Basically taking all your dirty laundry and putting it on your significant other's head, which I personally think is a little bit disrespectful, but that's what they're calling the grave robber, and creating an atmosphere of the grave because it's dirty, dank clothes. So I thought that was interesting. Once you've buried your corpse, which could be great for all you necrophiliacs out there, you decide to give them the unexpected thrill of your own personal version of CPR. And mouth-to-mouth, which would be back into consciousness with a little bit of oral sex, which, of course, has way less calories than certain types of candy or edible underwear or anything like that. That could be really, really fun. Number 8, Tale in the Crypt.
Tale in the Crypt.
Let's face it, the first thing that came to mind was that sexually deviancy and that high-pitched voice from, but no, we're not thinking Michael Jackson, so don't worry, even though his movie does come out very, very soon, that's not what we're talking about here. We're talking about our carnal take on famous
Tales from the Crypt TV show.
In a much legal, much, much more legal way. This Halloween position is where you and your partner make your way under the bed
in the crypt,
which could be really, really, really claustrophobic. And tail, and in brackets, leads to anal sex. Anal sex will leave it up to you, the cryptkeeper, to decide whether or not you wanted to annoyingly stimulate your partner with scratches on her back, which I find really interesting about that, which, by the way, if you want to have equal opportunity of this, you can watch the Canadian movie, which I'm just trying to remember what it is called right now, and if you call in or want to Twitter me the answer to that, the one that actually had that wonderful scene in it where the couple actually talks about her penetrating him. So that could be very interesting, too. So you could switch around, and that might fall quite nicely under your role-playing. But again, communicate, over-communicate. There's nothing wrong with talking too much about certain things before doing them, just as long as you do it in a really fun way and create a nice safe space to play. But on that, I really don't know how you'd actually fit under the bed with that. That just seems really, really interesting. Number 7, the Scarecrow. Aside from Michael Hutchinson, and for those of you out there who may not be old enough to remember In Excess's Michael Hutchinson, how he died from asphyxiation, a little bondage never seriously hurt anyone as long as, again, I'm going to add in here that you do need to talk about it. Communicate. It's really important. And this Halloween position is no different. One person is strapped to a cross brace and must act as if they have no skeletal system. The other partner gets to enjoy the benefits of having someone strapped to a cross brace in front of them. This involves groping, teasing and prodding and just about anything you want as soon as you get those cumbersome overalls unhooked. Best of all, when you're done, there's that straw to help clean up. Well, I think that could be interestingly fun. If you are going to do that, that could be a chance to actually get involved with a little bit of 9.5 weeks, which would be really fun. And perhaps having a little bit of chocolate if you do want to add your calories to your diet. Putting a little bit of chocolate all over, or Nutella could be nice too if you warm it up slightly, not too hot. Just a little bit of hazelnut fusion all over, or perhaps drizzling a little bit of strawberry sauce, which could be very nice and tasty all over the body. Again, being really careful where you put that if you are being internal. There are some gels that you can get as well if you don't want to go all natural and just want to pick it up at the shop. Art of Lovin's got some great stuff on their shelves. You can check that out. And Laska next week will be able to tell us a little bit more about things that I'm sure we can possibly get from the Taboo Sex Show. Number 6, bobbing for boobies. Interesting. Obviously, this would be a male-to-female position. So, firstly, despite intense pressure from certain members of High School Musical, this will not be entitled Bobbing for Knobs. When you point out the way, this sex position is pretty self-explanatory. Fill a bathtub up with two or more breasts, stick your hands behind your back, and bob your head until you catch yourself in a endorphin rush. Now, I think that could be interesting, and it could be really interesting if you're doing that at a party where you just have breasts everywhere and you're not sure. This is something that we will not be seeing at the Boobalicious event that is coming up soon on the weekend. There's a lot going on November 7th and 8th, actually, where it's fundraising for breast cancer. It's a very Cirque du Soleil theme, but it is called Boobalicious. So with that, tickets are still available for that. And this was probably not on their agenda for this. But you could have some fun with it. Again, make sure you have some fun. Be gentle, really gentle with the pressure with that. And this could be one of those ones that you might want to have Tanya Diamonds work. She's a tantric practitioner beforehand, where you actually sit across from your partner, eye gaze, and actually stroke along their inner wrist, just exactly how light or how intense you want to be touched. So then that way they know. So then that way you don't get bitten or any tuna in Tokyo with the mouth, which could be even more alarming because, ladies and gents, there are teeth that we have to watch out for, which could be very, 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 very scary. Number 5, the sleeping bat. Courtesy of the public education system and some unpleasant personal experiences, I'm very curious what this AskMen.com writer has to say about this. We are extremely aware that it is unwise to put unprotected genitalia anywhere near a sleeping bat. That is, unless your partner has assumed the role of a blind flying carnivore for the evening. In this sex position, your partner will require a stable pull-up bar or a shower pole with, or possibly a pole if you have one in your living room, which to hang upside down. Once he is comfortably locked in, position your mouths at each other's genitalia and engage in 69ing until the sunlight comes up or the blood rushes to his or her head, causing your partner to pass out. I find it interesting. They've got it her, so they assume that the girl is going to be the one flipping upside down. As a precautionary, most accidents due to sex usually tend, besides like broken condoms and things like that, usually tend to happen in the bathroom, and it's usually a shower. So be really careful because you don't want to spend the next week after Halloween getting with a broken wrist or anything, unless you're really into paramedics, and that could be really hot, and that could be some sort of paraphernalia, which could be very highly entertaining. I fully endorse exercise, but again, being really, 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 really careful, you might want to check as well with your partner to make sure that they do not have epilepsy or anything that may cause, just by holding in that position, just being really, really gentle, because it could be an awkward position if something happens, and being careful not to gag them or choke them too badly, because again, it's not totally healthy with all that stuff. Well, we're going to take a really, really, really short break, And when we return, we're going to give you the other top five tips. We're going to talk a little bit more of safety tips, too, for all my parents out there who might be listening to this show. Make sure your kids aren't. But with that, just in terms of with Halloween and things that we should be looking out for. And, of course, those guys and gals out there who might be not single and maybe having a one-night stand. With that, making sure that you practice things very safely. So we are listening to Sexy in Van City Radio on 101.9 FM CITR. We will be right back.
The AIDS Vancouver Helpline is here to help. Open from 9 to 4, Monday to Friday, the helpline answers questions about HIV and safer sex. Call to find medical support in your area without giving your name. Run by volunteers, the helpline is one of many programs from AIDS Vancouver combating the HIV epidemic in the Lower Mainland. While not medical professionals, our volunteers answer your questions confidentially and anonymously. The helpline number is 604-696-4666 or contact us online at www.aidsvancouver.org.
And Van City Radio may contain adult content. Listener discretion is advised. You are listening to Sexy and Van City Radio on 101.9 FM, CITR.
And we are back. That was a little bit of Black Halos. I've always had a thing for Billy Hopeless, so I couldn't help but playing that. I remember when I saw them live in Van, and I just missed his birthday party this weekend, actually, because he was in town, and yeah, it could have been really, really hot. So all those guys are friends with my brother, and so I remember going to one of their concerts where my brother basically held on to me the entire time and was very overprotective, where this is my sister. Not that they'd really look at me anyways, but, you know, a girl can imagine. And imagining things can be a lot of fun. So if you're just joining us now, you're listening to Sexy and Van City Radio on 101.9 FM CITR, of course. But we have been chatting about different sex positions. So we were looking at some of the stuff from AskMan.com, and we went through the first five. We've got another five sex positions that you can indulge in. After that, we'll talk about some safety tips in terms of when you go out, how to make sure you don't end up with somebody that you're going to put a bag over their head and all that stuff. So we're going to be chatting a little bit more about that. So coming up, actually, I lie. We've got four more tips, because we did five about the sleeping bat right before the thing, which, again, for those of you who did not catch that, make sure that you, if you're hanging somebody upside down and 69ing with them, be really very, very, very careful. All right. Night of the fucking dead. Squirming, oh, convulsing, oh, and moaning isn't something that just happens at Jack in the Box because you have food poisoning. Just kidding. Just case in point, Night of the Fucking Dead is the ingenious brain dead Halloween sex position. Partners start off in a standard missionary position, but once the male has comfortably entered the female, that's when things get really dumb or fun. Specifically, neither partner is allowed to use their arms or legs to support themselves during intercourse, leaving both sex-starved individuals to be grunting, struggling, and shaking in order to get off. Ladies and gents, I hope you've been practicing using your Kegels. Then you might be able to get off using that position. You never know, but try and experiment. Twitter me or tweet me or let me know how that works. Number three. The Monster Mash. Only a blindfolded eunuch could watch Godzilla movies and not get roiled up by the sexual tension between Mothra and the radioactive lizard. That is why we are suggesting that you and your partner try out the Monster Mash this Halloween. And no, I am not suggesting this because I'm not sure what it is exactly yet, and it's kind of scaring me. But according to them, the premise is simple but potentially expensive, depending on the cost of your outfit that you're willing to invest in. Oh God, this is an opportunity to become a furry. Go down to the costume shop and pick out costumes for you and your partner, then cut out sections around the genitals in each costume. And unless you're Paris Hilton, we assume that you possess the mental powers to deduce the nasty acts that it should follow. I don't know. Ever since I saw CSI, about that episode about the furries, where a guy got shot because of the fact they thought he actually was a wild animal, I've been a little bit reluctant about trying anything like that. And there's just something really nice about body contact. And even with body fur, body hair, a lot of people have issues. There's a lot of guys who shave their chest. There's a lot of people who do shave their genitalia. So it's one of those questions of personal preference. So I don't know. And I can imagine it would just get really sweaty and wouldn't be able to breathe a lot. But if anybody out there is into furries, please give us a call in or write, because I'm very curious to find out a little bit more about this. Number two is pumpkin head. I wonder if that is what I think it is. Let's find out. Jack-o'-lanterns are supposed to act as guides for lost spirits of the nights, but in our twisted minds, they act as beacons for downright nasty things. So while your girl is painting up her face with orange and black makeup, you can cut a hole in the box to act as a table. Your girl will lean down with her pumpkin-looking head poking out of the hole. You'll stand in front of her and aim for the black grin and put a candle of a different kind in the mouth of this jack-o'-lantern. Yeah, it's pretty much what I thought it is. But, you know, guys and gals, guys, you should be able to flip over and do some of this stuff. So let's see if there's anything there, because I think it's really, really important for guys to give it back just as much as you get, because You know, a lot of women, when I was seeing the movie Petals, I believe, and I may be paraphrasing incorrectly, but I do believe that the movie Petals, they did mention that about 60% of women usually come from clitoral. And I will need to verify that with Julia Saunders, my old co-host, who is who I missed dearly when I did Juicebox Radio. But she's got some very, very interesting things. And actually, at the top of the hour, Val and I were chatting about just missing Julia and things like that. And it was quite funny because then all of a sudden she accidentally hit the old Juicebox theme song. And I was like, nope, wrong show. But because we are listening to Sexy in Van City. But on that note, it's interesting, guys. Go down on girls. It's important. Just make sure, again, it's communication. Try that exercise with the arm, making sure it's the right pressure in terms of with just the right amount of tongue, because it can be really, really, really fun. And I know there's all sorts of different looking vulvas out there. After watching the movie Petals, it was interesting. There was 48 pictures there, and they look like all different types of flowers, hence the words petals. And I thought it was really interesting actually with that, which I give guys kudos for knowing, and lesbians kudos to know exactly what to do, because we all are very beautiful, but we look so different down there, so it's really interesting. So last but not least, we've got the witch's brew.
What a mute child. I am a binal newt. Unless you're Prince or Charlie Sheen, this stuff probably doesn't turn you on. But here for Halloween, the first ever sexy witch's brew.
Through swingers would probably have an easier time accomplishing this one. A drunk girlfriend and the girl she kissed in college should suffice. The key to this is all in the setup and the alcohol. I disagree with this. A hot tub with brown food coloring, novelty eyeballs, gothic candles, and two revved up bisexual females. The bonus is this one post witch brew shower, which in case either of you get to clean your partners or sit back and watch evil take its course. Interesting. I fully do not endorse alcohol, which on that note, we'll get into safety for going out and having a good time. On that, it is really not cool to get somebody drunk so they can, so that they'll do your bidding and stuff like that. Alcohol just numbs everything, and it's just not very healthy. Same with date rape drugs like GHB and things. And really, what is it really saying about you if you have to give somebody these things because you don't feel that they go to bed with you or be comfortable any other way? Guys, girls, anybody who is doing that to another person, please. Although usually it tends to be more the males to the females on that note, but it's partly because sometimes it's difficult for men if they've had too many drinks, where erectile dysfunction may possibly occur. So with that, it's really important, number one, when you're going out and you are wearing your sexy costume, whether, guys, you're in a sexy toga where you have no underwear underneath, so it's very easy access, or wearing a kilt, which can be really super hot as a sexy schoolgirl where you've got some really great legs or whatever, guys, whatever you're wearing, just being really careful, making sure you do have space to put your condoms. That definitely should be in there, and a credit card so you can get home regardless if your friends drink and drive. Play it safe when you go out. With that, when you go out to the bar, make sure that if somebody is buying you a drink, you are with them so you can actually watch your drink being made, just being really super safe, but making sure that there isn't anything. Create a buddy-buddy system so you do have somebody who can cock block or pussy block if there is somebody who is getting in the way and you're concerned about your friend. So really watching behavior patterns, possibly having code words with your friends beforehand before you go out so you know when something is not comfortable and when you should stop and make things okay. So those are some key things. If you do suspect GHB, any type of date rape drug or something altering, just checking with your friend. If you find them passed out in the bathroom, please get somebody to go and get security and just get some medical help just to make sure that they are okay, because that's really, really, really important. Don't let them go home with somebody. If boys and girls, you decide you do want to go home with somebody, there are some safety things that you might want to keep into consideration. A, that it is, number one, that it is consensual. Two, before you decide to go home with them, that someone sees you leave with them. Three, you might want to get their phone number before you leave the club. and actually and their address as well, and possibly text it to your friend beforehand so that they know where you are. So there's some safety set up right from the get-go. If possible, it is a nicer thing not to go home, but with the beer goggles on, because it's hard to gauge in terms of whether or not there's somebody you're going to find attractive, and especially on Halloween, where you may have somebody dressed up at the last party I was at tonight, somebody who's actually dressed up as a tampon, where it's really hard to see their face. So with that, you know, if you're going home with that, you don't know what you're getting. So just being super careful. And asking, sometimes if you might want to see if they've got any pictures on Facebook or something like that on their phone, where they can show you what they really look like without all this makeup on, without all the craziness. So that's a usually good way to know that you don't want to stick a bag over their head tomorrow morning. And I don't mean for asphyxiation. I do mean for because you're embarrassed to be seen with them or feel really uncomfortable. But this way it's safe, it's consensual, because that's really disrespectful if you do feel you need to stick a bag over their head the next day. But sometimes I think many people feel that one night stands are like a bulimic attack, where it's basically you eat and eat and eat and indulge and gorge and stuff yourself till you're one ready to puke. And the next day you see what you ate, you look at all those empty wrappers from like the Halloween costume pieces strewn all over the floor, and you look and you just want to puke it all up. So to avoid that, just make sure you've got your friends with you. Really think about stuff. If you can exchange a number or something like that, it might be easier. I know a lot of people these days are like, look me up on Facebook, but you know, sometimes it's better to have it where they don't have access to all your personal information. Sometimes a cell phone is a little bit easier, because that's an easier thing to change sometimes. So in terms of when you're actually ready to do it, you've decided this is what you want to do. Number one, make sure you decide your place or mine. So obviously the safest thing is to have to take them back to your place, which can be pros and cons, because obviously if they're in your house, sometimes they're hard to get rid of, but at least you know where you are. You don't need to worry about creepy things, although it can be a risk, because then they do know where you live, and if it turns out they're kind of the stalking type, they may be a little bit more difficult to get rid of. Know where you are. If you do make a decision to go back to your date's place, then make sure you really know where you're going. So again, make sure you're checking for notable landmarks. So try not to suck face all the way back to their place in the cab. It's just not that great. Although it can be fun, make sure you really, you know, with the landmarks and stuff like that. An easy way to do it possibly is to actually get a receipt from the cab driver if you're paying for it. Hopefully your date's paying for it, but if they're not, get a receipt and getting the to and from, so you can actually get the exact address on there, which can be really, really helpful. Notable landmarks are important too, like is there a gas station nearby, all that stuff. Because if you feel like you're heading into a bad area or uncomfortable with, you're going, speak up or refuse to go, and definitely text your location to somebody else. It's better. And obviously, as I was saying, right from the get-go, you want to tell someone if you're going back to their place, or if you live on your own, make sure that you tell someone of your plans. And you don't have to go into full-on intimate details unless you want to. One of the easiest ways to do this too, and it gets a little scary at Halloween when everybody's done up in makeup and things, but what you might want to do is see if you can get your phone. Thank God for camera phones these days. Take some pictures, some snaps with you and that person, and actually email those to someone of your friends, just so they have that. And also stick it up on your Facebook if you've got an iPhone. Do that, because in that way, or on Twitter where you have got your twit pics. So there is a trail of where you're going in terms of that, so people know that you've been hanging out with this person. You don't have to tell the whole world, like on your Facebook status, hi, I'm going home with this person, because it's going to be really super fun. But just in case they're a psycho serial killer who's into necrophilia, I want you to know where I am. That you can tell your best friend or whoever your friends are that are with you. Just, again, keeping it really super safe. And again, if you are out with a group of work people, make sure you do tell somebody that you are going home, but be careful with office gossip too. So you might want to email those to your best friend instead. So somebody does see you leaving with that person, oh, they're giving me a ride home or whatever the story is. But if you don't show up at work the next day, and it's not because you're hungover, but it's because of the fact somebody is into a lot of power games and some scary stuff, yeah, you will be safe. So that is very, very important to tell someone. And really, really listen to your instincts, which is one of the reasons why you want to be really careful with what you're drinking, making sure that you're not drinking too much and not taking any mind-altering substances like any drugs or anything like that if you're going out, unless like you're in with safe people. But I just don't think it's a good idea to have a one-night stand with somebody you don't know. Because your instincts is your unconscious mind sensing danger that your conscious mind hasn't figured out yet. So really listen to it. If you feel weird in any way, shape, or form, don't second guess yourself or try and convince yourself that you're being silly. Really listen to this. And it's your best defense against danger. Safe sex, obviously. Last week we had Kelly O'Dell on from Hep C Canada and Leslie Gallagher. And even though Hep C is not a sexually transmitted infection, there are lots of STIs out there. And it's really, really important to protect yourself and also to protect the other person that you're with. It's really good to use protection, use dental dams if you're going down on someone. I know things may not taste as good, but until you have that time to actually get tested, if you decide to turn this into a little bit more of a permanent thing, I really highly recommend play it safe. You never know. Make sure that you've got condoms with you at all times. Bring several. And I remember when I was quite young, I had friends who were absolutely terrified to bring condoms with them because it's like, they're not going to look like a slut. And it's like, actually, no, you're actually looking like a responsible human being. And it doesn't hurt to have several condoms because you never know, A, you might want to do it again. And you don't want to recycle and reuse condoms, do you? You want to make sure you have a fresh one for each time. Two, you want to make sure in terms of your condoms that in case one breaks, that you have a second. And if for whatever reason neither of you guys have brought condoms, well, you don't do the dirty deed. And that's something that should be discussed before you're at the location. It should be brought up. So whether or not you need to take a swing into a gas station or, you know, a Shoppers Drug Mart or wherever that's open late, that way you can do that. And again, more people are seeing you and getting an eye, which I can understand if you're living in a smaller town. You may not want everybody and their dog to know, but it's key. And also, please have an escape plan. So then that way you know how to get home. So make sure if, say, you're in a suburban area and you're from, like, say, you know, downtown Vancouver and you're going out to Surrey, make sure you have a local cab company so that you know. So in case this person who said they're going to give you a ride home doesn't, or you realize they're too drunk or they've been drinking wine out of your navel or something really delectably wonderful like that, that you know. And you know you can get home. So make sure you've got a plan of action. It's really, really, really important. And if they are staying at your place and you want them to leave, be polite and firm. And if they don't, and if they refuse to go or become violent, and I'm not talking BDSM where it's consensual, I'm talking where they actually get violent and you start getting freaked out, please lock yourself in a room and call a friend or a police for backup. So keep your cell phone with you at all times and make sure it's charged. Communicate your intentions to your date, and it's likely they'll eventually leave of their own accord. And, you know, as long as you make sure you set the parameters, again, it's consensual, you're very specific, and you put those safety measures into practice. A one-night stand, they can be fun if that's what you choose, but just on a side note to that, usually sex does get better the longer you're with somebody because practice does make perfect in so many different ways. So it's really interesting with that. And on a complete about face in terms of safety, one of the press releases that just came out from Sage, which they do a lot of research and things like that. It's a publisher for journals and books and academics and stuff. They have just issued some information out about that kids are more at risk to get hit by a car while trick-or-treating than having a sex offender policies, which are being questioned at this time. And they are actually saying that for the rates of non-familiar sex crimes against children under the age of 12 are no higher during the Halloween season than any other time of the year, according to a study published in this September issue of Sexual Abuse, a journal of research and treatment, the official journal of the Association of the Treatment of Sexual Abusers. And the findings does raise questions about the wisdom of law enforcement practices dealing with a problem that does not appear to exist, because apparently with a lot of the sex offenses, that there's actually places where sex offenders actually do need to register themselves during Halloween season in different states. And it's interesting, but apparently, according to this study, and where over 67,000 non-family sex offenses were reported in 30 states over 9 years. So they looked at these, and taking into account variables of times, the season, a weekday, etc., they found no increase of sexual abuse during the Halloween season. And additionally, the number of reported incidents didn't vary before or after police reports procedures were implemented to prevent such abuse. So it's not that they're saying that there is no risk on Halloween or that parents should abandon caution or supervision of their parents in this article, but there does not appear to be a need for alarm concerning sexual abuse on these particular days. In short, Halloween appears to be another autumn day where the rates of sex, in regards to where the rates of sex crimes against children are concerned. But the highest danger, of course, is actually from running back and forth across the streets and things like that, not being able to see for mass, all those things, not from sexual abuse from them. And apparently, according to their findings, only sex crimes against children during Halloween usually account for 2 out of every 1,000 Halloween crimes, which call into questions for diverting the law enforcement resources from some prevalent public safety concerns. So it's interesting. There's a lot to be said there. But there are some creepy people out there, and I'm not just talking about people that just are kind of icky and stuff. There are some people who may be into some really scary things, necrophilia, which is also called thanatophilia, and necrologenia, which is the sexual attraction to corpses. And it's classified by a paraphilia by the Diagnostic and Statistic Manual of the American Psychiatric Association. But it's actually from the derived from the ancient Greek word nekros, which means corpse or dead, and philia, which means friendship. And I thought that was really interesting with that. And apparently there's a whole whack of a 10-tiered session for classification of necrophilia. Role players, romantic necrophilias, which I think that would probably be more like an old person whose corpse had died and things like that, where they might just not want to let go of the person that they're in love with and not realizing that somebody has actually left that body. People having a necrophiliac fantasy, and there's apparently those are more common than we think. Tactile necrophiles, people who have fetish necrophilia, and people who have necrotiliomania and opportunist necrophilias, regular ones, homicidal, and exclusive, which is interesting. And most of this research came from Claff and Brown in 1958, so this is a little bit older, but they commented that necrophilia may occur more often than it is generally supposed, which is kind of freaky, actually. And apparently the necrophile actually develops poor self-esteem, and perhaps due to a significant loss, like, for example, They may be fearful of rejection by men or women and believes that they desire a sexual partner who is incapable of rejecting him or her. So again, please get a doll. Don't go to a dead body. They are also fearful of the dead and transforms his or her fear by a means of a reaction into a desire. So that's really interesting with that. And apparently, these authors also reported their sample of necrophilias, philiacs, which 68% were motivated by a desire for an unresisting, unrejecting partner. So that's 68%. 21% by a want for reunion with a lost partner. So whether that is somebody who died, like perhaps an elderly couple. 15% wanted by sexual attraction to dead people, like the movie Kissed, which had a little bit of both of those things in it, which was by Lynn Stopowich, starring Molly Parker, which was a nice Vancouver-based movie. 15% of a desire for comfort or to overcome feelings of isolation, and 11% of a desire to remedy low self-esteem by expressing power over a corpse. So at the end of the report, Roseman and Resnick wrote that their study should only be used like a springboard for further, more in-depth research. So, yeah, there's some very, very interesting things there in terms of with necrophilia. And apparently it's pretty common in the animal species as well. Things like, obviously, most of us have heard about the praying mantis, where they, after their means of reproduction, where they actually eat their mate afterwards, or certain types of spiders, like the black widow, who, again, eats their partner as well. So I know that's a little bit of a heavy note to end this. So if you do email me at kitten, K-I-T-T-Y-N, at sexyinvancity.com, I can definitely give you a little bit more information because...